Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's Intentional Grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
This is Intentional Grounding. It is episode 70. I believe that would make it the Bobby Massey episode. And yes, I'm not Adam Hogue. I do apologize. My name is Mark Carman. Adam Johns is here, most importantly. And the Bears are going to play the Detroit Lions, and they may actually win a football game. At the Carm on Twitter to follow me. Most importantly, at Adam Johns, Adam J-A-H-N-S, and at Intentional Grounding Pod. That's at INT Grounding Pod, episode number 70. Adam, are you emotional not being talking to another Adam as an Adam Hogue?
I am. But I can feel the magic being made in this podcast. The energy. It's electric. I can feel it. Good vibes here, Carm. Good to talk to you, my friend.
Well, it's great to be sitting in and to be able to talk to you as we delve into this Bears team that did win their third game of the year. three and nine there, Adam Johns. I mean, I don't know, but before we get into Lions and everything, let's go back to last Sunday, and I actually do want to have a little bit of a Colin Kaepernick moment for you, just the way he was treated at Soldier Field. But when you look back at beating the Niners, how did the Bears do it in your mind?
Well, let's just start by calling the 49ers a horrendous football team. Look, I was on Sports Talk Live the other day with Patrick Manley and Jason McKee, two former Bears now in the media. And from there, it's called expert perspective because they've been in locker rooms, right? They've played bad teams. They've been on bad teams. They've been on lopsided losses and wins before. They thought the 49ers quit, and I thought they quit. They looked like they quit. I mean, Kaepernick gets benched. The defense doesn't want to tackle Jordan Howard running through the middle into the end zone. Just had a lot of heart and a lot of effort, but I go back to Matt Barkley playing, having a great two-minute drill at the end of the first half. He was great in the third quarter when the Bears really put them away. Vic Fangio had a great game plan for containing Colin Kaepernick, not really as a passer, because he was quite pathetic in that regard, but as a runner. I mean, they had this great five-man front. Nick Kukowski, your only linebacker, really contained him. So I think the Bears coaching deserves credit. I think a lot of the rookies deserve credit. But the 49ers, I mean, this is important context because the 49ers, I mean, they're a really bad football team, Tom.
They are, at least they were last week. But you know what? I watched, as I do every week, whoever the Bears are playing, I'll sit down and watch their game the week before. And I watched them play the Dolphins. It was a game they should have won. I mean, really.
Yeah.
And you know, Kaepernick threw for nearly 300 yards. He ran for almost 150. I mean, I looked at them like, how have you guys only won one game? And then I guess we saw it, but I mean, I do give the Bears a significant edge with the weather. I mean, I thought the weather had a huge part in Sunday.
Absolutely. But, I mean, the 49ers did come out to a 6-point lead, 6-0, and the Bears special teams were granting them great field position. Everything seemed to be in the 49ers' favor. Yes, I'm sure the cold played a factor, but to me that goes back to the coaching point. You know, when certain intangibles have to come in line and you got to tough out a victory when you kind of have the game there and the other team kind of reverses the fortunes on you in a pretty bombastic way as the Bears did. I mean, that speaks to Chip Kelly not being able to rally his troops there per se. It speaks to the leaders on the 49ers not being able to get their teammates to respond. And it really speaks to, I mean, look at the Bears. Yes, they had that blowout loss to the Buccaneers. But in a lot of these games, when they're not turning the ball over crazily like Jay Cutler did against the Buccaneers, they've been in games. They haven't quit. You know, and I think that really does speak to what John Fox and Vic Fangio and Dow Loggins are trying to breed in that locker room at Hal's Hall.
Well, okay, let's talk about this, I suppose, evolving Bears team, because I haven't heard much positive talk, or really any positive talk, all season long. But now there's a little bit of a, well, Matt Barkley could be something, at least a backup, and I don't know, Leonard Floyd's getting to the quarterback, and Jordan Howard just had three touchdowns as a rookie. Last rookie running back to do that was Gale Sayers in 1965. I mean, are you buying into there's a slight foundation being built here?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And look, I don't mean to even come off too positive. I just think the Bears look positive compared to the 49ers in terms of what young personnel, in terms of them buying into coaching, in terms of their flight level, compete level, as football coaches would say. Yes, I am a believer in a Cody Way here. I'm a believer in Leonard Floyd. I think Jordan Howard is a very good player. You need a Nick Kukowski to play more. You need Deion Bush to play more. You need DeAndre Hall to finally get over his severely sprained ankle and play. But I know what you're saying, that you have these young core players who are not only producing but playing big roles in victories here, or at least one victory, I should say. Now, is it something to get ecstatic about? No, you can't, right? This is still a 3-9 football team. I still think you still need a few more core pieces to add to it. But, you know, when you got four games left and you got a bunch of rookies playing, their development and them having an impact on wins and losses is very important in terms of their development. And it's been positive, even in some of those losses. I mean, Leonard Floyd has played well in losses. Cody Whitehair has been really so steady since week one. I'm trying to restrict my positive vibes here. They are 3-9, but I know what you're saying. I think they do have something here. Maybe I want to see a little bit more from them in year two, but you have to like what some of these young players are doing.
If you're not reading Adam Johns in the Chicago Sun-Times, you're just not living your life the right way. I'm sure you are. If you want to listen to this podcast, by the way, on iTunes, if you're not doing it that way, you can search Intentional Grounding. I want to go back. You just touched on the schedule. Hey, man, by the way, Adam, you can be positive. It's cool. Like, you are allowed to wave a little pom-pom here. I'm down with that. And I think another thing you can be positive about, and I'm not saying it's going to go well, but at least in their last four games, they're playing the Lions this week. Detroit absolutely needs to win this game. Same thing with Green Bay coming into Soldier Field the following Sunday. Then the Redskins on Saturday the 24th. And then the Vikings probably, it's 50-50, but they'll probably, you know, maybe they're still alive the final weekend. So at worst, you're playing three meaningful games. So you can actually get, the point I'm making here is you can actually see what Matt Barkley can do against a team that's trying to make the playoffs. Same thing with Cody Whitehair and everybody else you just named. They're in games that matter. So I think it's a nice testing ground the final 4 weeks.
Yeah, you'll have a better gauge of what they really are. You know, look, I still think Cody Whitehair and Leonard Floyd, Jordan Howard, young emerging players, right? They'll have good moments of these next 4 weeks, and you want to see him do it in year two. But for Matt Barkley, these next four games are huge. These are the biggest four games of his professional career. If he can beat, or if he can play like he did against the Titans and play like he did against the 49ers at Ford Field, that's a great start. If he can do build off that and have a great game against the Packers and continue that way. I mean, you're talking about him earning a contract to come back here next year. Look, I'm not talking about him being the franchise savior at quarterback, but he's better. At least he's shown me against two pretty lackluster teams. I'll say that, in the 49ers and Titans, especially defensively, that he's better than everybody thought he was when he left the Eagles. You know what I'm saying? He almost became kind of like a laughing stock, which was kind of unfair to him because he didn't fit into Chip Kelly's very nuanced, gimmicky, Oregon, fast-paced, no-huddle offense. You know what I'm saying? he just wasn't that type of quarterback. And he was meant to be in a pro-style offense like he is here with Dow Loggins, and you can see the comfort level. So I don't think those two first years in Philly were a wash. This is truly a fresh start for him, and this is the best opportunity he's ever gotten to play. Yes, he's gotten it, you know, via injury, but, I mean, if he can build off of these previous two games, and especially in a hostile environment in Detroit, I mean, that's a really good sign for him here in the future.
I mean, you know, I do the Bears postgame show on WGN with Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich and Glenn Kozlowski, Hample B and Koz. And when Brian Hoyer was having his moments earlier in the year, Hamp was kind of maybe giving him a little bit of love, but not really. He's jumping on Matt Barkley, man. And I'm not saying this is going to be a Hall of Famer or even a starting quarterback in the league, but it is interesting when you hear a Hall of Famer talk about somebody and give him props that say, hey, this guy, he may be able to do something. I'm interested. I've always, as you know, Adam Johns, I've been championing anybody to step up. But I was like kind of the lone wolf on a lot of that stuff, you know. And maybe there were some people with
this goes back to your McCowney love.
Yeah, this is Josh McCown love, and I was willing to jump on Brian Hoyer. But to hear these guys talk about Matt Barkley like there's something real there, and you go back, right? I mean, here was a guy who was going to be a top five pick if he had come out after his junior year at USC. So there's some massive talent here. He's not going to throw the ball through a brick wall, but he can certainly put it on the receivers, and he played huge down the stretch when the game was on the line the prior week. So, I mean, I'm excited here. Where do you stand?
You know, here's the thing. I think you kind of know what Brian Hoyer is. He's been in the league for a long time, right? I mean, he has a body of NFL work. Matt Barkley threw 50 passes for Chip Kelly's Eagles. That's it. That's his body of work before this season. So I think kind of the unknown makes him very intriguing. And yes, you look back at him at USC, and he was very talented. He was one of the best high school recruits coming out in the country that year, too, going to USC. And then, yes, he would have left his junior year. I mean, there was talk about him being a top 5, top 10 pick, and then he comes back. He had a lot of things going wrong at USC. He has an injury, so his draft stock kind of plummets. I mean, he's a classic case where you want to leave early, right? But I think it's the unknown of him. And he's got some moxie to him as well that you like to get of a quarterback. I mean, he has said more than once now. I want to say it's like 4 or 5 times, I know what type of quarterback I am. And he's starting to show it. You like that little confidence and that swagger, which is the word kids use nowadays, Carmen, in case you're missing it.
Thank you.
Yes, he's got that swagger to him a bit. Maybe that's his South Carolina vibe or South California vibe. But I think it's the unknown. I mean, this guy... You kind of know what Brian Hoyer is. You don't know what Matt Barkley can be. You don't know what his ceiling can be. And I think that's not only intriguing, but can be very exciting to whether it's to Dan Hampton or to the common fan.
So when you're walking around that Bears locker room, I mean, they're not going to rip on a teammate, let alone somebody who's barely been there and has, you know, started 2 games. What's the sense you get from the receivers, the running backs, the offensive linemen about Matt Barkley?
They like him. They really do. They use those adjectives too, you know, the swagger, the modesty, the confidence. They know he's kind of, even in his Bears tenure, right, to get to this point, he's been primarily a backup. He's been running the scout team all the way up until Brian Hoyer was no longer good to go, and now Jay Cutler's no longer good to go. So this is like his... You know, a baptism by fire of sorts, where he's getting a full dose of the offense now. He's in those longer meetings with Dow Loggins. He's telling them what he likes instead of listening to what Jay says he likes and stuff like that. So, again, it goes to the unknown. We didn't know how he's going to handle this. Maybe he's got a bad game coming up. I'm sure he does. But if his good moments outweigh the bad, I strongly think. That he's got a real case for returning next year. I don't know if that means as the starter, but as a guy who could come here and fit his case to maybe be that starter for the Bears next year.
So let's talk the other guy, 6, Jay Cutler, who had surgery on IR, the whole thing. Some people I've heard say that if the Bears were in contention, if the Bears, or if he didn't hate John Fox, then Cutler wouldn't have had his surgery. Does that ring at all true to you?
Well, I think at some point the guy just got to think of his own long-term future, right, in his own best interest. He really did try to come back from this injury. It wasn't season-ending from the get-go. It was, I'm going to try to rehab this. You can inject me with whatever you want. I'm going to try to get every treatment medically possible that will do me some good in this shoulder to try to play through this injury. And the Bears were, I mean, they allowed him to do it for a couple weeks. And I think they did want to have a deadline on him just to, you know, give Matt Barkley, you know, a fresh chance. I think they wanted to at least have their roster spot ready because they want to get a bunch of young guys in and out of this lineup. So once it didn't take after 10, 12, 13 days and they weren't getting the signs that they wanted, Jay Cutler was done. And we know historically this is a guy who returns rather early from injuries, and he couldn't do it in this one. So I think at some point he just had to keep his best interest in mind, whether it's another chance here or whether it's another team. He has to get his moneymaker, that arm. I mean, that rocket of an arm that always intrigues teams and coaches. He's got to get that right and healthy if he's going to have a chance to play in this league again.
So you just put it out there as a potential that he may return in 2017. Do you believe that?
I don't think it's been I know the speculation is completely leaning to him to leaving. The Bears obviously don't owe him a lot of guaranteed money anymore. Obviously, you see what Brian Hoyer did. He played better than Jay Cutler. You see what Matt Barkley's doing now. So they have their reasons. But, I mean, you never say never. What if Matt Barkley, knock on wood here, you know, goes down in a couple weeks? You're left with David Fales, a guy you caught after the preseason this year. So, look, Jay Cutler is well thought of by John Fox, Ryan Pace, Dow Loggins especially. There's a connection there. Like how he, like when he was out for with the thumb injury, I mean, this is a guy who was playing scout team safety, a guy that was participating in so many facets of practice, even though he couldn't throw a football. He was heavily involved in what they were doing in their game planning. He was around an awful lot with Brian Hoyer, and he was around a lot with Matt Barkley before he went and had his surgery. So they like that in him. Now, does that mean he's going to return? Like, I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough decision, but I think they got to be right in their thinking because you just can't move on a guy this. I know it's the talent thing. Everybody's intrigued by the talent, but you at least have some type of plan and some type of mode of operation to move on from him. Because if anything, Farm, Jay Cutler brought stability to a position that didn't have it for the longest time in Bears history. Shane Matthews, Jim Miller, Cordell Stewart, Chris Chandler. I mean, you can go on and on and on. Jonathan Quinn, Craig Krenzel. All these guys preceded Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, for all his faults and turnovers, actually was a stable force to have on your team, if you know what I'm saying.
So, well, hold on. I don't want to get in a huge Cutler argument here because that would be juvenile and I'm a professional.
You can go. Let's go ahead.
Well, I mean, if you were going to give him a grade, what is he, 51 wins, 51 losses, right? Or is it 52 and 52? Whatever it is, it's a 500 record, basically 100 games, right?
Yep.
Okay, what grade are you giving him for his tenure with the Bears?
Well, a 51-51 record, that would say screams C, right? Right in the middle?
Yeah, right. That's okay. So we're in agreement that he gets a C?
Yeah. I mean, he did not deliver on his billing, but I'll say this. I mean, there was such a story, this guy's career here, just the coaches that didn't like working with him and the ones he didn't like working with, all the changes, you know, maybe a head coach in Lovie Smith, who didn't want to give him his full backing, teammates who didn't really like him right away. You remember those reports from the get-go where him and Brian Urlacher had a rift, like almost from the since he like arrived at Halifax. Remember that stuff, you know?
Sure, but let me ask you this. How many editors have you worked for at the Sun-Times?
Two.
Okay. Well, I was hoping for more, but regardless, how many people have you worked with that have impacted your ability to do your job? You know what Adam Johns did? You know what you did? You showed up every day, and you performed, and you covered this team. I mean, the quarterback that people talk about him being or wanting him to be, you play above all the stuff that seemed to take him down. Is that not fair?
Yes. I would say he's not in the – look, everybody wants him to be an upper echelon quarterback, and he is – it's fair to say he is not delivered on that. I mean, he can't carry – he's not a Peyton Manning, a Drew Brees, or a Tom Brady, or an Aaron Rodgers who could do so many things to overcome certain deficiencies on his roster. Now – I think you've seen it with Aaron Rodgers that maybe even he might be mortal. I think you've seen it with Drew Brees that even he's a bit mortal. So I think you see certain scenarios play out. But, yes, I know what you're saying, and I get some of the criticism of him. I really do. I've been very critical of him. But in terms of him coming back next year, I mean, I think that's what we're getting back at. I don't think it's a open and shut case. I think it's still open for evaluation. Obviously, it's an important decision to be made at the end of the year. He's probably likely gone. I think we can all see that kind of coming. But look, until the Bears actually announce it, I think this team can still be full of surprises.
Intentional grounding. Adam Johns talking to you. I'm Mark Harmon sitting in for Adam Hoag this week. Hope you're enjoying the podcast here. About halfway through. Hey, let's talk about Mitch Trubisky or Deshaun Watson or Deshaun Kizer. How much attention have you paid to the college quarterbacks, and who have you talked to, Adam Johns, and who are you most excited about? Because a lot of people think the Bears are going to draft a quarterback in the first round. That obviously remains to be seen. But is there anyone out there that you're excited about?
No, not one. Right. And from some of the people that I've talked to around the league, I mean, how should I describe this? It's the quarterback class is meh. I mean, there is no Carson Wentz. There is no Jared Goff. There's no Marcus Mariota. There's no Jameis Winston. There's definitely not an Andrew Luck. So the way I see it, the Bears are likely looking at a top five pick, right? You got the Browns and 49ers in front of you. They desperately need a quarterback, right? Let them go crazy about trying to find who is the right fit. Find the Bears. You take one of those defensive studs there that could be at number four, or number five, is Jonathan Allen, a Myles Garrett, a Jabril Peppers from Michigan. I mean, guys who are going to be legitimate playmakers for your team. Yes, there's always some level of uncertainty, you know, with every pick. But, look, especially the quarterback class, look, I've heard, I don't want to say awful things, but it's just been described as mediocre. Okay, I mean, it's supposed to be a deep class cornerback, which helps the Bears. A lot of good tight ends, which helps the Bears. You got some very special players, I think, defensively in the top five, top seven picks to consider. Look, you can get a good quarterback in the second and third rounds. I don't think Ryan Pace should go in there thinking, I absolutely have to take a quarterback with my first pick, because I think that's recipe for failure. I think you're passing up potentially great defensive players, maybe a franchise offensive lineman by making a stretch pick on a quarterback whom probably has a second round grade to begin with. I know quarterbacks move up always because of the importance of the position, but I just don't think you should go in there with the mindset that I have to pick a quarterback with my first pick, because that's going to be, I mean, this just doesn't work. For a lot of teams, if there's not a guy like an Andrew Luck there at number one, if you know what I'm saying.
Makes sense. So, all right. If you're let's rewind to, we'll get back to the draft in a second. Is John Fox back as the head coach of the Chicago Bears for another year in your mind? Let's say that they win one game of the final four, which is generally optimistic. They finished 4-12. Are you thinking that Fox gets another crack at this?
Yes, 100% yes. Because I think the internal expectations were probably even lower than some of the outside expectations. for this team. You know, they're not going to come out and say it, but they are rebuilding. They were planning to have an influx of youth, and there was going to be a lot of those, you know, so-called growing pains. And you're seeing that in so many ways right now. So, look, the Bears don't want to be like the Browns. They don't want to be like, you know, they don't want to be such of a mess of an organization. You still got Phil Emery on the books financially. You just got Mark Trestman off the books financially last year. You don't want to have Fox on the hook for 2 years here when you're paying a guy basically to have, you know, vacations for the rest of his life. So let him come back for at least one more year. You know, he's influenced this organization in so many different ways. Well, at least let him see it out to that third season where he can actually make an impact with a roster full of guys that he not only drafted but targeted in free agency. And this speaks to Ryan Pace, too, who I think is completely safe. But in terms of the John Fox question, yeah, I mean, I think he's 100% coming back for his third season.
You know that you just made at least 83% of Bears fans vomit all over themselves, right?
I get it. You know, but you try to temper your, you know, their expectations for this season. And you know, I thought they'd be better than this. I really thought they left a couple wins out there. Jaguars game, the Colts game, they stand out to me. I think the record should be better than it is right now. But I knew that there was going to be a lot of bumps in the road and a lot of young players were going to have to play this season, because year three and year four really for this Ryan Pace, John Fox regime is what everybody should have been targeting as those big turnaround seasons where you're talking about a 9-7 team, maybe talking about a 10-6 team by year four and competing for the playoffs.
So does Ryan Pace get a second head coach if next season doesn't work out?
Yes, absolutely.
He does, right? Okay.
Yeah. I think the organization is more beholden to him. You know, that maybe that's not right the right way to say it. I mean, they both value what Fox and Pace bring to the table. Obviously, Pace is a guy kind of in control of everything, so they want to give him time. George McCaskey has said on record numerous times that they're going to be patient with what he is doing there. So, I mean, that's it. That's how they're going to – they have to give this a shot. I try to hold it to in this context, right? When Mark Trestman with Phil Emery took over that – Lovie Smith team, a 10-6 team, right? That's what they inherited, right?
Yep.
And then those two years just became quickly snowballed into a complete mess. Ryan Pace and John Fox came in and saw that mess, and they had to clean it up. And they weren't going to talk about winning multiple championships. They talked about trying to having three or four good drafts to build a young foundation of this team of players that they actually drafted and evaluated from the get-go, not guys they pay a lot of money to, because that just doesn't work in the NFL. You got to have sound drafts. And we saw in the final years, Jerry Angel, Lovie Smith, they didn't have those sound drafts. We saw Phil Emery's regime. You know, he only hit on a few players over three or four years there, whatever it was. I'm trying to forget it. But it just, the circumstances of John Fox's takeover compared to what Mark Trestman was taking over are so very different, and I think people just need to remember that. You know, he came in year one, had a major mess to clean up, and he still had some of those troublemakers on the roster. I mean, Martellus Bennett, Jeremiah Ratliff, they had to get rid of these guys.
Fair enough. One more year of Fox. I'm excited. I'm kidding, but I get it. I agree with you is the bottom line. I think he will be back. Hey, you've been red hot on your picks, Adam Johns, but before we get to that, we should give a little tribute to a young man who won a Heisman Trophy in 1994 with the Colorado Buffaloes, and he was drafted by the Bears, and then he became the youngest player in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards. He was 21 years, 77 days old. Rashawn Salaam, 1,074 yards in his rookie year, 10 touchdowns, and then he had a ton of injuries, and he had trouble fumbling the football, and he had some He had some issues with marijuana as well, but passed away this week, stunningly, shockingly, 42 years old. Your memory around Rashan Salaam, Adam Johns?
I kind of remember when he was drafted. I'm going to show my age here, but, God, that was mid-90s, right? So I was...
young? God,
pre-puberty, Mark Carmen, I think, or just starting to blossom, or whatever the right wording is. Starting to come into my own... as a young prepubescent.
Now you're reminding me that I didn't grow until my junior year of high school, but that's okay. Continue on, please. We won't get too super personal.
So, and just pumped, right? He had a great rookie season, too, and you're thinking, like, oh, man, this is it. Like, you know, I don't know if it was going to be the next Walter Payton or Neil Anderson, but, like, I was excited. I thought this was going to be something special, and obviously for various reasons, injuries, obviously he's come out since then, and you know, he really delved into the marijuana usage, stuff like that. So it's a sad story. It really is. You know, you see a lot of these football players, for whatever reason, a lot of them I don't want to say a lot of them, but you see some of them dying very tragically young.
Yep, there's just no doubt about it. And, I mean, I don't know how much the game necessarily with Rashan was the problem. I mean, he did have injuries, but his story is a little bit different than, you know, this doesn't reek of CTE and that type of stuff. This is a whole nother something that I don't want to speculate into. But regardless, it was quite a talent. And anytime you see somebody 42 pass away when you're my age, which is 43, that's just incredibly, incredibly young. So, at any rate, Rashan Salaam, wanted to give you a little moment there. Let's look at what's coming up this week. Are you really 15-5 in your last 2 weeks there?
Hey. The picks come after our usual game preview here, Carm. You can't just come into the podcast.
Oh, you know, my bad.
And completely do it, you know. We could talk about the draft. You got your little Cutler bit in there, my friend.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. I appreciate the reset. Bears and the Lions, Sunday, Ford Field, Bears, an 8-point underdog. So, I guess the question would be, how do the Bears go on the road and beat the NFC North leaders? Adam Johns, what are your thoughts?
Well, my two big questions for this game, if we're going to go back to the typical podcast form here, my friend. Can Matt Barkley continue what he did at Soldier Field and against two very so-so defenses in the 49ers and Titans to carry over that success at Ford Field against a red-hot Lions team? And how many carries can Jordan Howard get in this one? Because, look, he got 32 last game. And I don't know, I forgot to stand in front of me. I'm going to kind of go kind of berserk. You're looking for it anyway, but when he has like over 20 carries, that you know the Bears, I think, have won every single game of those three games. I could look at it quickly, but don't quote me on this. But you got to pound the ball with Jordan Howard. He's going to help out Matt Barkley. I mean, those are the two guys that are playing really well in your offense right now. The Bears have to lean on them.
Am I supposed to give two questions too?
You can if you want. We can just move on.
Well, let me give you my two questions because I want to be on board here. Does Hogue normally give his two questions?
He does.
Okay, well, I don't want to let Adam Hogue down. I don't want to let you down. I don't want to let our listeners down. My two big questions for this game. Number one, is Akeem Hicks going to continue to look like Dan Hampton / Richard Dent in his prime? Because they're going to need to get some pressure on Matthew Stafford and make it a little bit uncomfortable, and that would be number one. And number two, I'm starting to get excited here, Adam Johns, about a young man. I think everybody is, who's not super young. Well, yes, he is. He's not a rookie, but he's still in the embryonic stage of his career. Eddie Goldman, man. There's another guy that I think that will be, if the Bears somehow, some way beat the Lions, you're going to be hearing his name a bunch. You got any problem with either of those two thoughts?
No. Eddie Goldman, man, I think Akeem Hicks was a great signing. I think Eddie Goldman might be something something very, very good. The Bears think he could be an annual Pro Bowl selection. That's how good or how highly they value his potential. Now, can he stay healthy? Obviously, he had some weight concerns last year. They wanted him to lose some weight, which he did this year, and play some more snaps. But when he's on the field and playing well, I mean, the Bears' defense is just considerably different.
What are your bold predictions? What's your bold prediction for
my bold prediction is Josh Bellamy will not drop a pass this week.
That is pretty damn bold. That is super bold. That's almost more bold than saying that Kevin White's going to be out there catching passes. But okay.
Ooh.
That was a dig. That's unnecessary.
I don't know this podcast if he was going to take a mean pass, but okay.
Yeah, I didn't. It just happened. My bold prediction for this week is that Kadeem Carey rushes for more yards than Jordan Howard.
Okay. It says bold predictions, not ludicrous predictions.
Well, they have these weird moments in time where he just doesn't want to stick with someone, and then someone gets hot. So I'm just gonna go.
No.
I'm gonna you. The word says bold here. I'm going bold.
I like it. You know, I like it. I once criticized my podcast partner Adam Hogue for making a guy. What was it? He thought Aaron Rodgers was gonna throw two touchdowns. I'm like, two touchdowns, Aaron Rodgers. Why is that bold? Talked him into three. Aaron Rodgers threw two. You know, I'm just saying. I'm probably getting it wrong, but I like that you're at least willing to put your neck out there, Carm, and say that Kadeem Carey, who is probably their number three running back,
yes,
is going to outgain in rushing yards Jordan Howard, who has been one of their best players.
Well, just this way I can make a name for myself. Remember, he had two carries for 8 yards against the Niners. So if that doesn't scream better than Jordan Howard, I don't know what does.
I can see the headlines now. Carey carries the load.
Carey carries the load.
Surprisingly in Detroit.
Bears beat the Lions. Who are you picking this week there, Adam Johns?
I am picking the Lions.
Yeah, you are.
I'm thinking it's going to be a closer game than the 8-point spread. I like the Bears covering. I think I'm in at 24-20 Lions. I think they are a much different team than the one that lost to the Lions, or the one that lost to the Bears earlier on in the season. I think Matt Barkley plays well. I think the defense plays well. But I think just the mojo that the Lions have kind of going right now, they got the playoffs in their sights. And Ford Field can be a rough place to play at Barkley, even though I think he'll play well, will make his mistakes. But I think the Bears will keep it tight. So give me 24-20 Lions.
24-20 Detroit. I am taking Detroit as well. I don't think it's going to be as close as a 4-point spread. I do think Detroit covers, and I'm going to say 31-17. That sounds about right to me. Detroit. Okay. Going up and down the field a bunch. But Matt Barkley at least keeping me hopefully interested enough throughout the three-hour extravaganza. Let's take a look around the league here. And I didn't mean to jump ahead before. By the way, Adam Johns is 15-5 over the last 2 weeks. One game now you're behind Adam Hogue. And you both have correctly picked the Bears game straight up the last 3 weeks. You're going for 4 in a row taking Detroit. Would that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, okay. These are copious notes that Adam has provided about your record here. So I don't want to not give you credit.
Well, you know, Mr. Hogue's been talking a lot of smack on the tweet machine. So
I bet he has.
You know, it's not how you start, Adam Hogue. It's how you finish.
That's exactly
here
right.
We are making a lot of headway here, my friend.
That's right. Only one game back. All right. So the Minnesota Vikings are on the road at Jacksonville. The Jaguars are getting 3.5 points. That is a noon kickoff on Fox Television. For those who are curious about the old where you can find these games, of course you'll be watching the Bears game. But who do you like, Vikings and Jags?
God, what a bad football game this could be. I kind of like the Vikings, even though they're giving up 3.5 points. I think the Jaguars are kind of a mess. And I think the Vikings defense can really stick it to Blake Bortles, who could throw. I mean, Mark, you could play quarterback better than Blake Bortles right now. I mean, he is just horrendous. I mean, that's the perfect example of a team stretching to make a pick at a quarterback, right, in the top five when Jacksonville selected him at number three. The guy has not improved mechanically or with his decision-making. He's going to go down, at least it looks like it right now, unless Jacksonville can find the right guy to fix him, as a bust of a pick. Give me Vikings. I mean, maybe they could keep the playoff hopes alive a little bit. Give me Sam Bradford for the Vikings, even though they're giving up 3.5.
Okay, and I'm going to actually pay homage to our guy Adam Hogue and read his picks instead of giving mine. And he actually, rewinding a second, picked the Bears to beat Detroit, so he's opposite you on that one. And he is taking Minnesota along with you to beat the Jaguars. Let's do the Seahawks at Green Bay. Some might argue that Seattle's the best team in the NFC, even though the Cowboys only have one loss. I would be one of those people. But it's Green Bay's getting 2.5 at home, which is obviously rare for the Packers to be an underdog at Lambeau, even on a down year to this point. Who do you like, Seattle and Green Bay?
I like Green Bay in this one. I think Seattle is going to really miss Earl Thomas. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to see that almost immediately when he's going through their reads. I do think Seattle is one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFC. I do think some of the Packers, all the good feelings about them may be a bit overrated, but I just like the Packers in this one, especially with the Seahawks losing Earl Thomas and them having some uncertainty at running back and some other positions. So, yeah, give me some Aaron Rodgers in this one.
Adam Hogue is taking the Seattle Seahawks, so now you guys are opposite each other in two of the first three games. I like the drama building here. Let's go tomorrow. Well, okay, we're going Raiders and Chiefs Thursday night in Kansas City. It's supposed to be 10 degrees. The barbecue will still be flowing. The Raiders' best record in the AFC West, which has three teams in the playoffs right now. The Chiefs a game behind. This is a great AFC West battle. Kansas City is a 3-point favorite at home.
Is that forecast correct? Is that for real?
Yeah. It's supposed to be 10 degrees.
Really?
That's what I was told today. I can double-check that for you, but I was told that by a diehard Chiefs fan who's driving from Chicago to go down there, so I don't think he's got the weather wrong.
No, you got to be prepared for that. I mean, that's for him, driving through a lot of icy roads down there. So let's see. Okay, so it's going to be pretty cold that night. Okay. I like the Raiders. Derek Carr, I think, is a special quarterback. Khalil Mack is a special player. The Chiefs, they do kind of just find ways to win. They are giving up the points, though. You know, give me the Chiefs in this one. I will take the Chiefs because I don't like a California team, as we saw in the 49ers, coming into a place where it's going to be very uncomfortable for them to play. Yes, I think the Raiders are a significantly better team than the 49ers, but the Chiefs, I mean, they're not a bad team. They're not a bad team whatsoever. And I think that weather situation really helps them out.
I mean, I think Kansas City is – I mean, I think the Raiders and Kansas City are 4-5 in your standard power rankings. I like them both. And I like the Chiefs to win this football game. Adam Hogue is picking the Raiders. So, again, you are opposite, and you're giving 3 points. That's going to be a great football game Thursday night. It's too bad they're not playing on Sunday or Monday with both teams rested, but regardless – so you're on the board with the Chiefs. I like it. Let's go Dallas on the road at the New York Giants. That's your Sunday night football game. The Giants, a 3-point underdog at home to the 11-1 Cowboys. Odell Beckham Jr. having quite a year. Who are you going with, Adam Johns?
I like the Cowboys in this one. When the Bears lost the Giants, and I think the Giants were in the middle of a 5-game winning streak at that time a few weeks ago. They were like the worst red-hot team I think I've ever seen. The Bears were really in that game, and if they had played a bit better, they probably could have won that game. That's how unimpressed I was with the Giants. I think they got a lot of holes. Yes, they got some nice players. I think Eli Manning, could be erratic. But the Cowboys, just so powerful up front offensively. Ezekiel Elliott is a special running back. You got Dak Prescott, was playing extremely well. You know, I keep thinking he's going to hit a rookie wall, but he doesn't. Even though they're giving up some points, I think the Cowboys can really take it to the Giants.
All right. So we've got Dallas picked by you, and that is Adam Hoge's lock of the week, the Dallas Cowboys. I actually like the New York Giants in that football game. But okay, I'm against both you guys. Let's we got two more. We got the Patriots at home on Monday night getting 7 versus the Ravens. I'm assuming that you're going with New England.
No.
Really?
No. Yeah. Well, they're giving up 7 points here.
Okay.
I think it was kind of a lot. I think the Patriots will win. I just think the Ravens will cover. So give me the Ravens with the points.
Wow.
I thought the Ravens had a very impressive win over the Miami Dolphins last week. I think they're hitting the and I think I've always, for whatever reason, I don't know what the historical numbers are, but I covered the AFC Championship in New England 1 year between the Ravens and the Patriots, and the Ravens took it to Tom Brady. So I think there's something historic there, whether they just have the right game plans for Tom Brady. I'm not saying Joe Flacco and company will win, but I think they can cover that 7-point spread, and you could call that my lock of the week.
Wow.
The Ravens will cover that spread. I'm not saying they're going to win, but they will take that 7 points and win for me, if you know what I'm saying.
Wow, I like it. I mean, I don't like it, but I like it. Bold. That is bold right there. Final game, Donald Trump is going to be in attendance. 2 o'clock kickoff Saturday. Army versus number 25 Navy, and the midshipmen are a 6.5-point favorite, this game being played in Baltimore. Who do you like in Army Navy? And can you name one player?
No, I cannot. Here's my analysis for you, Carm. My grandfather was a Navy man. I'm going with Navy.
That's awesome. What did Grandpa do in the Navy?
Oh, he was on a battleship in World War II, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. The European front too, the real deal.
So he saw some combat, huh?
Yeah, he was out there.
Wow. My dad was in World War II, but he was only going out over to Japan on cleanup duty, so
yeah.
That's
I want to say my grandfather did more like patrols with the battleship. It was his, if we're getting the historical facts correct here for the Johns family, his brothers, he came from a big family, and him and all his brothers served in the armed forces during World War II. And his one brother actually drove a tank under patent into Germany. So he's in terms of John's family members who have served, I guess he has the most famous story, my grandfather's brother.
That's good history. Next podcast we do, Adam, I want to go full John's family, Gino Graham. I want to get the whole connection all the way on down to yourself and just see how the whole thing came together. Are you in?
I am in.
See?
It may happen later this week, I think, right?
Why not? Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that. Sure, absolutely. Next week, the genogram. All right. We're in the books here on what was episode 70 of Intentional Grounding, the Bobby Massey episode. Adam Hoge letting me sit in for him, so thank you to Adam, and more importantly to you, Adam Johns, for allowing me to discuss the Chicago Bears, the 3-9 Bears, with you for roughly 45 minutes, a little bit more, as we enter week 14 of your NFL season. Thank you for the time, my friend.
No, Carmen, it was my pleasure. Great hanging out with you, my friend.
Twitter, at Adam Johns, at Intentional Grounding Pod. I am at the Carm, and of course, the website, WGNradio.com/Bears. You can read Adam in the Chicago Sun-Times, as you know. And you can also find us on iTunes if you search Intentional Grounding. We will see you next week. Adam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
We'll see you next time on Intentional Grounding.